Hello, and welcome to the Wildcard Rewind podcast. This week we've got a very early 2024 mock draft. Let's get into it. I just want to rewind to when we were young. Can't believe it's just over, or just at really, 1 week away from the NFL draft. Super excited for that. But before then, we're going to have a look and see what we think about where players are for the 2024 season. Really excited to do that. And joining me this week is actually the other two members of the team. I think this is the first time three of us have been together for ages. So great to have everybody here. Paul, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well. It's Thursday night. And it's very weird speaking to you two on a Thursday night, you know. But I'm super excited to get into a really, really early redraft mock draft. So it's gonna be fun, and excited to see where people go with players this year.
And you've got something else going on this weekend, haven't you, Paul? Potentially.
Yeah, so, I've also got the London Marathon this weekend, so I don't want to bring down the tone, but I'm not in a good place with all that, so. I'll leave that one to another day.
Well, we're all willing you on and hoping that, you know, you can make it and everything goes well. Thanks. How about you, Lewis? How are things with you?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Very excited for the draft. I think I've mentioned before that it's my brother's wedding next week, and he got me into being a Rams fan. And now his wedding is Friday, so I'm not going to be able to stay up and watch the draft. So I'm still furious about that. But I am incredibly excited, first of all, to speak to you guys and to start looking towards the first few rounds of next season, which it feels very early. But, you know, best ball drafts are going to start in the next few weeks. The moment the draft's finished, on some sites, they already are up, and it's going to hit us before we even know it. So, yeah, excited to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't believe your brother, Lewis. He must be a terrible NFL fan now if he's having his wedding on the same weekend as the NFL draft. What was he thinking?
I'm furious about it. I mean, he would have booked it way in advance, but like, keep everything like April and February free for the Super Bowl and the draft.
Exactly. I mean, he must have known. But anyway, we'll have to let him off because you're going to have to go, unfortunately. Before we start doing our mock, should we get into some big news of the week? So, you know, it's been a little bit quieter from the, I suppose, established NFL player point, but there's still a few points to kind of go over. First one is Devonta Smith signs his 3-year, $75 million extension, and in that he gets $51 million guaranteed. So interesting, I think, for the Eagles to kind of try and get it all tied up before we see extensions for the likes of Justin Jefferson, CD Lamb. I think they're just trying to get in front of that, which I think is a very clever idea. Unfortunately, the Bengals, I think, are unlikely to do that with Higgins, and we're going to see him go next year. But okay, what do you think of this then, Paul, and the extension? Happy, like it, don't like it? What are your thoughts?
Big fan of this one. I think he's got himself a mega deal, because if I remember right, AJ Brown was 4 years for 100 million. So he's basically got a similar deal to what AJ Brown got. So I think it's a really good deal for him. He's signed himself at the Eagles for the next couple of years. And when his deal's done, he's also still young enough to be relevant and hit like free agency again and stuff like that. So I think it's a good deal from all parties. It's a short one, so if it doesn't work out, the Eagles can get away from it. It's short enough that Devonta Smith, if he wants to go somewhere else after the Eagles, he can still do all of that. So I think it's a good deal all around, and I'm a big fan of Devonta Smith, the Slim Reaper. So yeah, I love it. To be fair, I think it's a really good deal.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, these three-year deals we're seeing more and more, aren't we? And I think they're going to probably become more of the standard now. I think the player is keen to kind of get the opportunity to get another payday quite quickly, because as we know, the salary cap, you know, is going up and up and up. So I think they're keen to try and get their payday again and again while they can. Anything else to add on that, Lewis?
Oh, not hugely. I don't think there's a huge amount of ramifications for fantasy. We knew that the situation for Devonta Smith was going to be the same going into next year. It's good to see that them sort of locking up that core long term with Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown as well. The Eagles, I think they're very much ahead of the market on these sorts of moves. They like to get their guys locked up early. So obviously, they didn't actually even have to extend Devonta Smith this offseason. He could have played on his fifth year option. So yeah, I think it's a good move for everyone all around.
They're basically the opposite of the Cowboys, right? Who like to just wait and wait and wait and wait and then have to spend an absolute fortune. Really
Yeah,
interesting.
the opposite of the Cowboys because they're successful.
Yeah, well, I'm just really interested to see what happens with Dak as well. You know, they held out and held out for his last contract. They're doing it again, and it may come and bite them in the bum. So, shall we talk Brandon Ayuk? So apparently earlier this week he requested a trade, but then apparently he didn't request a trade. There's certainly some drama going on between him and the 49ers at the moment. Clearly, he wants a contract. Clearly, they're not exactly where he wants them to be. Do you care at all about this drama for IU, particularly for fantasy, or do you think it's all kind of going to blow over before the season and we shouldn't be worrying too much?
It doesn't hugely bother me. So if anything, I think the upside of for Brandon Ayuk might potentially be moving and going somewhere where he's the clear-cut one, as opposed to we talk about that too many mouths to feed offense in San Francisco. So it's fantastic, but he is better than his fantasy points will show, because sometimes you'll have entire games where he doesn't see that much of the ball. It doesn't really, like with wide receiver contract drama, I'm generally not too interested in it because you tend to get all of this posturing. Like I remember, I think it was a couple of seasons ago with the Debo drama that we were all waiting when the Jets came on the clock to see if they were going to trade for him. And in the end, he ended up signing a new deal. Wide receivers love to posture. They love to hold out. They like sort of unfollowing their team on Instagram and posting cryptic social media posts. It doesn't really bother me until you either get news of an extension or that he is going elsewhere. The teams, I think the teams being the most linked currently are the Steelers and the Jags, which is interesting. So either of those I think would be good landing spots. But yeah, I'm not hugely bothered by the fantasy implications right now.
What do you think is most likely to happen? A trade or in a contract extension?
I think he stays. The problem is the 49ers cap situation and whether or not they can afford a long-term extension. This is the problem with having that many weapons and all of them coming on to long-term deals. So the 49ers only currently have 6.3 million of cap space. So after signing their rookie class, that's an effective cap space of 3.7 million. Now, obviously, they can wrangle the extension to mean that the cap hit goes down this year. But having that much of your offense on long-term deals and highly paid deals is going to start to be an issue when Brock Purdy needs to be paid in a couple of seasons.
So I heard someone mention that actually maybe the better play is to trade Debo and try and keep Ayuk. Paul, if you were the 49ers, what would you do? Would you do that, or would you happily ship Ayuk off and kind of figure it out from there?
You put me on the spot. Yeah, I'm trying to think how old, what the age difference is, because ultimately I think Debo's sort of 28, is he? Is he 28? And Ayuk's a couple of years younger than him, or are they? So I'd keep the younger player. I like Brandon Ayuk, and I think he's got quite a good connection with Brock Purdy. He definitely had some good games last year. So I think the value is Debo. I think you'll get more for Debo than you would Brandon Ayuk at the moment, to be honest. But I think Brandon Ayuk's the better long-term option. So I think I would trade Debo away and keep Brandon Ayuk, but
Yeah,
I don't
they're
know.
Debo's 28 and Brandon Ayuk is 26.
So you know what I mean? You could have Debo for 3 years, but you could have Brandon Ayuk for five, and then they're both at 31. So to me, Brandon Ayuk's the cheaper option and the long-term option, whereas Debo seems to be like a more expensive and shorter option. But I don't know. I think going off what like Lewis was saying about these players, I think it depends what his ego's like more than anything. Brandon Ayuk's going to demand money. If he wants to demand money, he's not going to get paid at the 49ers with their cap space and the players that they've got. He's not going to get a big payday. But as we've seen in the past, these people, when their egos take over and go, I demand this much money, look what happens to them. You know, they end up at a team that go, okay, we'll pay you that much money, but they're not a team that could potentially make the Super Bowl. At the 49ers, you know, if he leaves the 49ers for the Steelers or the Jags, as you mentioned, Lewis, he's not going to win a Super Bowl. At the 49ers, he's got a very good chance of winning a Super Bowl. So it depends. He's got a better chance than he has with the Steelers and the Jags. Unless, to be honest, they were close last year, you know?
He's got a better chance of being very close to winning a Super Bowl and then managing to not win it somehow.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
It's one of them where what do you want out of your career? Do you want to go, oh, I'm going to go to the Jags, leave the 49ers and get paid loads of money, or get paid a fair amount of money, stay with the 49ers and get a trip to the Super Bowl again within the next 2 years? You know, it's wherever his ego is, you know, more than anything.
Yeah, again, I think it's going to be interesting. I suspect he stays for now. Whether they eventually trade him or manage to get a deal done, be interesting to see. One last bit of, I suppose, news that's been going on for a few weeks, but I don't think we've talked about particularly yet, is obviously the Rashee Rice unfortunate incident. He's now been charged, obviously, after causing a crash while racing a car that he leased in Dallas. I think there's been quite a few injuries there, which is really not very nice. But ultimately, do you think this is going to cause issues for him in 2024? Do you think he's going to have some suspensions and things? Or do you think we're going to see a similar situation like we did with kind of Alvin Kamara, where he played through this season and then the subsequent season he ends up getting, you know, that six game ban? What kind of are your thoughts here, Lewis? And do you think that that affects his fantasy stock? And do you think that the Chiefs are going to probably be trying to look at other wide receivers in the draft? I think they were going to anyway, but are they going to do it with more urgency now than necessarily they might have kind of thought that they needed to?
Yeah, so I don't think this is going to affect Rashee Rice in 2024. I'm speaking about this very much not as a legal expert, but with the experience of seeing the way that the NFL tend to handle things, and also the way that very rich people can delay legal proceedings if they want to, this will probably be something that will affect him in 2025. I would think that... So my instinct was, no, they'll still go in with their exact same plans going into the draft. You know, probably they were looking at taking a wide receiver relatively early, but they probably won't panic off the back of it. But then I thought back to 2019, which was the off-season when we all thought Tyreek Hill was going to get suspended for domestic violence, and the Chiefs reached on Mecole Hardman in the second round over DK Metcalf, I believe. So that sort, and obviously it's the same, you know, management structure, it's the same GM, it's the same head coach. That makes me think that actually, I mean, maybe they've learned from that, but we do have a recent example of them panicking about a suspension to their star wide receiver and trying to find someone similar. So maybe the only thing I can think is that maybe it changes the archetype of wide receiver that they look for early, that they try and look for a similar type of player to Rashee Rice as opposed to a different complementary piece.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think the draft for them this season, I personally think they looked into a Super Bowl last season. I think unless they do more with that offense this year, they're going to struggle. But they've proven me wrong before, and I'm sure Mags will be very upset if he hears me say this. But I think they need to do some work there. They haven't got the weapons, have they? And I suspect, like you say, the urgency might have increased now that Rashee Rice is in a bit of trouble. Shall we get on with our mock draft? Let's see where we all think everyone is at the moment. I had a real trouble kind of placing where I was going to put everyone, so I think this is going to be quite good fun. So I've got our draft board here for anybody who's watching on YouTube or also on X when we stream it on X. Oh, hold up. There we are. Right. So, Paul, I think we've been very generous and we've let you start with the 101. So tell me, Paul, who are you going for?
Well, I said to Lewis before the start of the show, this was an easy pick. I don't think it was an easy pick. There's a lot of players that you could choose here. And I do feel like this is a pressure point because it's like, you know, you can look really brave right now, or you could look really stupid, you know? So for me, I'm going to go for the one guy that I think can sort of repeat what he did, and he's done it before and everything like that. And I'm going to go for, I know it's a shock, but I'm going to go for Christian McCaffrey. Bear in mind, sorry, before anyone goes, what? What are we doing? This is not a super flex. This is a one QB. So I wouldn't go. I wouldn't. If it was super flex, it wouldn't have even been a discussion here. But there's so many players here that people could go, oh my God, why didn't you take him? Why didn't you take him? Why didn't you take him? And we will come across these players later. But to me, he's somebody that hasn't really had anything that changes to his scenario. He's had no change in QB. He's had no change in sort of structure or anything like that. He's somebody that we know what we get with Christian McCaffrey. He is a guy that could go out there. He could do 1,000 rushing yards, 1,000 receiving yards, get 25 million touchdowns and everything like this. And he's in a Kyle Shanahan offense. And he did it week in, week out, every time. So it's easy for me, Christian McCaffrey at the 101.
Fair point, Paul. I did not mention, like you said, it's a one QB and we're doing PPR league draft here. So what do you think there, Lewis? Would you have picked CMC or are you more of a wide receiver man?
No, definitely. Definitely CMC at the 101. I think this is a really interesting one because obviously I haven't done any redraft drafts yet. So you're getting to learn the draft spots that you would like or not like as you go through. And so to me, the 102, I probably don't really want. So I have four guys in the same tier here. And I think when we did the 10 questions episode, Hannah, we spoke about this question. And I think I would go Tyreek Hill as the wide receiver one.
He was my two as well.
he is also my two. So this has gone exactly how I would have. This is my... I wrote down my top 50 the other day in preparation for this. Number one, CMC. Number two, Tyreek Hill. So this is exactly what I would have done. Sounds nice. Like this is what we all would have done. So shall I move on?
We're all smart people.
I know. Oh, we were just so clever, aren't we? CMC will probably get injured right at the beginning of the season and then you're wishing he never got the 101. But we know what he can do when he's healthy, isn't it? And that's the reason we pick him there. So the 103. Again, we had this chat, didn't we, the other week, Lewis? So I'm going to stick to what we said before. And my second player here, I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb. Also, I mean, we could have had Jamar, we could have had Jefferson. Jefferson makes me nervous this season because of the rookie QB, if I'm honest. Like, we know that rookie QBs often have an effect on the fantasy production of the skill players. So I have to kind of give him a little bump because of that. And Chase, although he's fantastic, Higgins is still hanging around there. And I think ultimately that means that he's going to struggle to finish as the overall number one in 2024, wide receiver anyway. So anybody got any pushback on that or should we move on to the 104?
No, I'm perfectly happy with the first three. I think they would have been my first three as well, to be honest.
Okay, Paul, who you got here then?
104. This is where it all starts to get a bit dicey for me. But I'm going to go for Jamar Chase at the 104. I think he has the ability to finish as the wide receiver one. He has the ability to absolutely dominate a season. And I think to get somebody like Jamar Chase at 104 seems a bit of a steal. But as we saw last year, he also has the ability to go away. I say go away, like hide away in games and and stuff like this, and there's a lot of doubt around him at the moment and stuff. So I think if him and Burrow can get back on track, he is a player that you find is a bit of a steal at the 104, to be honest.
Yep, I like that. Okay, Lewis, what about you at the 105?
So, like, this is the guy that we were all nervous to take, and I'm going to take Justin Jefferson. And that sentence on its own is insane. I'm nervous to take Justin Jefferson. But so we all know the problems with, obviously, they're likely being a rookie quarterback or potentially Sam Darnold. And if it is a rookie quarterback, it's at the earliest going to be the third quarterback off the board, probably more likely the fourth, and JJ McCarthy. Justin Jefferson, to me, is probably the only player in the NFL that I think could still finish as the wide receiver one with Sam Darnold at quarterback. I mean, his pace coming off injury last season, and that was between Jaren Hall, Joshua Dobbs, was for 159 targets, 108 receptions, 1,710 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns across the 5 games after he came back from his injury. So, to me, like, he's as close as you can get to QB proof. And I think getting him at the 104, it's the sort of thing where you could, you know, he could finish as a back end wide receiver one and everyone goes, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But you could also find in week 4, everyone's going, why didn't we take JJ at the 101? Like, why did we not take Justin Jefferson earlier?
Yeah, I agree with you here. He's the one I'm most kind of nervous about where I've got him, because I can still see a path for him to finish, you know, as the top one or two wide receiver in 2024. So I totally agree with you there. I have ranked him lower, but I can totally see him outperforming it. Really can.
I agree. I've got Justin Jefferson at the same place as you, Lewis, but I'm with you, Hannah. It's really, really difficult to rank him this year. And I know, you know, it doesn't matter who's there, but if the Vikings go rookie quarterback, I know you said about Sam Darnold, and I just worry that if the, you know, the connection's not there and stuff, he is somebody that can be, to me this year, he could finish as a wide receiver one and he could finish as a wide receiver 12.
Yeah.
That's scary for me. And you look at this board and you go, Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson are picked 4 and 5. And you just think, oh my God, like, you know, and this is what I was saying with my first pick. You could either look really, really stupid at your first pick or like an absolute genius.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago, you'd have said, there's no way anyone's taking anyone over Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase. And now here we are, we're taking CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill and McCaffrey before both of them. And it's like, we either look like geniuses or we look like idiots. Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting thing that we're obviously not building teams here, right? When we'll do that later on in the offseason, that we'll do an entire mock draft and build a team. We're just looking at who we would take for the first 3 rounds. But obviously there's a point there about roster construction, in terms of if you're taking Justin Jefferson, you're probably going to look to build your wide receiver core with upside with the other players. So I think there's definitely a point on roster construction based off who you take with your first pick. And that's then the obvious pivot point to when how you look to build everything else.
Yeah, agreed. Go on, Hannah, who are you getting at 6?
So this is here where I think that there is a tier break in wide receivers. You know, I think there becomes a bit of a drop off here. Although I feel like Lewis might not agree with me, because I know who he would probably want to put in this tier. But I personally think that there is a bit of a tier break here. So I'm actually going to go to the running back position here. And I'm going to pick Breece Hall. I just think this guy is an awesome running back, and I think that he's another year removed from his ACL injury. Towards the back end of last year, he was dominant. We know that he can do it, and I think that the Jets want him to be kind of their workhorse guy. You know, there isn't really anybody there. You know, they got rid of Dalvin Cook towards the end of last season. There isn't really anybody there that can, I don't think, try and kind of compete with him. Obviously, they drafted Izzy Abanikanda, but he didn't do anything last season. So I could see Breece Hall finishing as the RB1 this year, you know, based on his talent. So I'm going to bet on him. I'm interested to hear what you think about this, because I think a lot of people potentially have Bijan over Hall, but I just haven't seen... They've got a new coaching staff, so they may well use Bijan much better this season. But I've seen it from Hall. I haven't quite seen it from Bijan yet. So I've gone Hall over Bijan.
Yeah, I looked into the way that the top 12 running backs or top 10 running backs in 2023 scored their points. And Breece Hall finishes the RB2 in PPR, but had the lowest percentage of his points of any running back in the top 10 from touchdowns. So he scored 18.5% of his points compared to a lot of the others towards the top were in that kind of 40 mark. And the Jets only scored 18 offensive touchdowns last year. So you've got someone that was incredibly efficient in the passing game and the running game, and didn't get many touchdowns. Still, you know, I mean, he finished 100 points behind Christian McCaffrey, but, you know, there's a huge amount of touchdown upside with the offense improving into next year.
Yeah. I'm in complete agreement with you here, Hannah. And there's some things in life that I'm proud of, and there's other things that are a bit of a disappointment and stuff like this. But when I can rank my players in redraft the same as you, Hannah, it makes me feel so proud, because for once we're not going to disagree on it, and I feel like I'm doing something right. So I've got Breece Hall genuinely there as well. So I'm feeling very happy with the way this has gone so far, you know.
See, this is what happens, Paul. You spend a bit of time every week with me and look how you learn.
I know, you know, it's taken, what, 2.5 years? But
yeah, a long time. We are getting there. Great news. Although we're only in round one, I suspect as we go further down, there's going to be some more wild takes from you.
Oh, there's a wild take coming now, because okay. I am stepping into the QB pool.
No. Ooh,
yes, I am, because I looked at players around this point and I was there like, who would I rather have? Who would I rather have? And there was a lot of players, and I was like, I don't want him, I don't want him. And there was one player that I wanted, and it's QB, okay? And it's not who you think it is. It's not Kyler Murray, okay? I'm not doing that. No, so I'm going to go for the QB, and it's he's my guy this year. He's my QB1 in redraft this year, and that is Lamar Jackson.
Oh,
I'm going early for Lamar Jackson. I think he's got the ability to be miles above everyone else. And I think with Derrick Henry in that offense and everything, and I think they're taking a step forward this year. They're going to do everything right. And I think Lamar Jackson's going to have another MVP kind of season. And I just think he's just going to be amazing. So, yeah, a bit early for QB, as I don't think my next QB is for another, what, 10 picks or something like that. But when I looked at all the players, he was the only one that stood out above everyone else, to be honest. So I wanted my guy Lamar Jackson.
I'm sorry, Paul, but I take back everything that I said. I fear, you know, I was a bit too early in giving you praise based on how well you were doing. I'm interested to hear your thoughts here, Lewis. I have Lamar. I might be quite low on QBs in my ranking of QBs in a one QB league, but I have Lamar Jackson as my 31st ranked player. Problem I have
is... How early is your first QB?
So my first QB is Josh Allen, and I have him at 24. The problem I have with QB... So... We went early QB last year.
24.
Probably not. This is the thing. I think I'm probably going to miss out on all these guys, because all these guys went really high last year. And what we found, although I haven't looked at the data properly, but generally was that they didn't separate themselves as much as I expected them to. And I personally think that's too much draft capital versus what kind of positional value you're getting, you know. I don't think Lamar is going to be so much more better than Josh Allen, you know, any of those kind of guys.
Josh Allen did separate himself a little bit. So points per game, he was at 24.2, and then QB2 and points per game was 21.9. So there was a little bit of value in taking Josh Allen early, but I mean, it's 2.3 points per game.
And that is the difference between a championship winning team.
is that right, Paul? Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, I certainly think that.
So to me, my thought, like I said, my thought process is I'm looking at players and I'm looking at who I want and everything like that. And to be honest, it's all getting a bit, I feel like, I don't know it personally, but I feel like there's like six elite players and then there's just a tier of just players that are all very similar and there's so much range of outcome and everything like this. And I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's just going to keep just getting better and better and better. And if that means I've got to pull the trigger early, I'm going to pull the trigger early and get me Lamar Jackson. And then Hannah, when you see him put up 25 points every game, yeah, and your QB is Aaron Rodgers, who plays like 4 minutes at the start of a game, and then your QB2 is somebody that you wait until round 35 to get or something like that, you know.
And he's putting up 23 points per game, then I'm happy.
And he's putting up 15, and you're going, oh man.
Yeah, but then I'll get my extra points from my other skill players that I've drafted here in the first round. But you know, look. You got to do what you want to do, Paul. You know,
I like to be rogue.
Exactly. Go on.
I agree with all of your arguments, Paul. I do like if you have a quarterback that you believe in and you think they're going to separate themselves so much from the pack that they're going to be a league winner, I don't hate taking them early. I think the fantasy community has kind of gone back and forth on early QB. Like for a while, it was, you know, lava, no one go anywhere near it, and then last year we kind of came around to it a little bit. I think to me the problem is that we are only at the 107. So I think if it was the same thing at the beginning of the second round, I can get on board with it a little bit more. I think doing it midway through the first is just slightly too rich for me.
So what you're saying is I agree with you, Paul, but you're wrong.
I'm covering all bases.
You said it so politely, Lewis. So
you know what I mean? He just, like, literally, he just put it in words that was really nice. What he actually meant to say was, you know what? I agree with you, Paul, but it's wrong. So we're going to move on.
Just really quickly, Lewis, before we move on to the 108, where would you be happy to take your first QB?
Yeah, so there's a difference for me in terms of where do I think there's value and where do I think I would do it, because I think taking midway through the second is completely fine. I have Allen ahead of Lamar, but they're very, very close to each other, so probably towards the back of the second if I was picking at the 101. I mean, starting off with CMC, you know, the RB1 so far clear of anyone else last year, and then one of the elite quarterbacks, whoever your QB1 is, I think I'd be okay with that. I don't tend to do it, aside from in best ball, where I like where you want stacks, where stacks are so much more valuable, just because I can never bring myself to be the first person to take a quarterback, because I think you always end up looking, once a few people have taken it and everyone waits, and then you look and people are taking, you know, someone you'd be happy with as your QB1, even if they're not quite at Lamar's level, and you're suddenly looking there going, I kind of wish I'd waited on that a little bit, and you know, could I have changed, you know, if it's Amon-Ra and Jordan Love or Lamar Jackson and Cortland Sutton, whatever, you know, whoever you, he's not going to be going that early, but whoever you end up taking around kind of like the seventh, I think to me I'd rather take the elite positional player earlier and then wait on QB. But I don't hate it. I don't hate zigging while other people are zagging.
But it's still wrong.
But it is still wrong. It's not wrong. It's just a different opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And you might be laughing at us at the end of the season, Paul, when Lamar basically wins everyone their leagues because he scores all of the points in fantasy this year.
And you will praise me.
Right, let's move on. Go on, Lewis.
I think you guys are so confident in where I'm going here, and I'm actually not.
I know where you're going.
So I would take Amon-Ra St. Brown here. Just slightly over Puka. So I have him one spot over Puka. And the reality of the situation when it's not stone cold rankings and when it's more emotional when I'm drafting a player for my team is I would probably take my guy and just be happy to have him on my team. But Amon-Ra is kind of just that picture of consistency. When you look at the way he performed last season, he basically guaranteed around 100 yards in every single game. And with taking a wide receiver that early, like, you know, I adore Puka. He's absolutely my guy, but I do think I worry very slightly for how the offense changes if Cooper Kupp is more healthy going into next year. I also think when we're drafting right now, there is a lot of buzz around the Rams trading up for a receiver or Brock Bowers, or even looking to a receiver at 19. So obviously the mouths to feed just get a little bit more worrying there. Whereas I don't think the Lions are going to take someone early. And I think Amon-Ra is going to stay as kind of that absolute target hog. The offense is just going to stay the same there. So it's always going to be a debate for me when you want to take a player that you absolutely love, but I would go Amon-Ra St. Brown over Puka Nacua.
Yeah, I have that. That's the way I have them ranked at the moment still.
Me too.
And I agree. I am a little bit nervous about Puka. I think, obviously, you can't deny what he did last season. But like you say, Cooper Kupp was injured for the majority of it. And they didn't really have any other skill position players that were great, really. So if they
Kyren Williams.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of like a pass catcher, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't express that properly. But yeah, any decent pass catchers, really, you know, Higbee, Mer. And then it was just who have they signed again? Who was the wide receiver 3?
DeMarcus Robinson.
That was it. I mean, he did a few bits and bobs there, but I mean, he's not really much, is he?
Yeah.
And I do wonder whether, you know, it's his first round pick for ages. McVay's going to be tempted by an offensive guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm actually going to go back to the running back well here. I feel like, do you know what? Typically, I'm not that keen on drafting too many running backs in the first round, particularly in PPR. But you guys have just keep kind of leaving me them. So I'm going to have to take the bait. And I am going to go Bijan here. We can't deny his talent, can we? And he just wasn't utilised properly last season. I understand that there are other skill players there. There's Drake London, there's Kyle Pitts. Someone is not going to be able to get, you know, a decent portion of the pie. But I think Bijan is so talented that they can't not get him involved properly this season. You know, and it's a McVay-based offence now, isn't it? Is it Zach Robinson? Is that his name? That's come over, you know, and we've seen what Kyren did last season. So I'm all in on Bijan. I'm going to take him here.
Yeah, I'd probably do the same. I love that.
He would have been my next pick if he was still there.
So then, Paul, who are you going to go for? This is where I start to really struggle.
I'm not going to go Puka. I have got Puka very, very, very soon, to be fair. So I'm going to go for AJ Brown here. I think AJ Brown is a really, really good wide receiver and a really good player with that Eagles. And I think I worry with Puka. I've got him, two spots back from this. I do worry with Puka. And to me, if I'm honest, one of the hardest players to rank this year is Cooper Kupp, because we know what Cooper Kupp can be. We know what Puka Nacua can be. Do they work well together? Don't they work well together? Is Cooper Kupp going to have that bounce back? I just don't know. I'd be interested to know where you both have Cooper Kupp, if I'm honest, but maybe that's something we can get to at the end if we've got time. But no, AJ, I'd rather AJ Brown over Puka Nacua, to be honest, because I just worry what Cooper Kupp can take away from Puka if he plays the full season.
Yeah, AJ Brown's a really interesting one to me because it looked like, so the first half of the season, there was talk of him potentially being offensive player of the year. Like, he was absolutely elite the first half of the season. And when you look through, so their bye week was week 10. Before their bye, he had, that's 7 of 9 games over 15 points. The rest of the, so after the bye, he only had one game over 15 points. And that was 15.4. So it was an interesting kind of flip to the season for AJ Brown, but I think it's a real sign of recency bias that I think he's dropping down draft boards a little bit when actually towards the beginning of last season, he was elite.
I'll let you pick in a second, Lewis, but the thing that makes me nervous about AJ Brown is his volatility. You know,
yeah.
He can have a massive week and then he can score 6 points, you know, like we saw last season. And I think this is another classic, quite a few mouths to feed offense. You know, Smith's now been paid. You know, they're both very talented wide receivers, and I think he's another better in best ball pick. I don't like too much volatility in my first round pick because I want them to be reliably good and elite. And I just think there's a bit too much volatility for me in AJ Brown, so that's why I have him slightly low, but only slightly. But that's why I think he's more late first, early second, rather than up with the rest, you know?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Anyway, go for it, Lewis.
Puka Nacua, let's move on. I've said everything I need to say about Puka Nacua.
I was literally just about to say, I can't believe that we let him, you know, he managed to get all the way back to you, all the way. But he did make it back to you after all that. But yeah, I would have taken him there. I think that's probably a very reasonable spot to take him. 112. I'm going back to the New York Jets well here, and I'm going to take Garrett Wilson. I think he is a talented wide receiver, and I think he's had an unfortunate set of circumstances the last few seasons. Obviously, he had Zach Wilson as his QB1. You know, 2 seasons ago, and then they're like, yay, we've got Aaron Rodgers. And everyone's like, yay, Garrett Wilson's actually going to be able to thrive. And then, as we know, he managed 4 snaps, and that was the end of that. And then he ended up with Zach Wilson, plus or minus multiple other QBs when they decided they didn't want him, Zach Wilson anymore. And I just think, right, come on now, Aaron Rodgers, if you're fit and healthy, this is the time to kind of support Garrett Wilson and let him show how talented he is. And I think Garrett Wilson has an interesting range of outcomes this season because I could see him being, you know, in the top half of wide receiver one territory, and I could see him being a mid-range wide receiver two if things didn't break right. You know, Aaron Rodgers gets injured again, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you. I think he's somebody that with the right, if the stars align for him, he could be unreal. And let's just hope Aaron Rodgers plays more than, 4 snaps?
Go on then, Paul. Start us off with the second round.
201, I'm going back to the running back room, and I'm going to go for somebody from that Detroit Lions team, and that is Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's on a high-powered offense. They like to put a point. They like to use him. And he's somebody that last year, when we're talking PPR, he had 71 targets, 52 receptions. And, you know, they threw him the ball. He got a lot of work in the pass game. He got a lot of work in the rush game. He was just short of 1,000 yards last year. And to me, I just think that Lions offense is just going to keep getting better and better and better. So give me Jahmyr Gibbs here, or Jahmyr Gibbs, however you pronounce his name.
What do you think, Lewis? Would you have gone Jahmyr here?
I would have debated between him and another running back, so I'd be quite glad to not have to make the choice. I do. I really like Gibbs, and I think there's sort of a clear tier of running back after this next guy. So I think, yeah, I'd be very happy starting. If I was starting at the 112 and I took Garrett Wilson and Jahmyr Gibbs, I'd be absolutely ecstatic.
Agreed.
But I promise this isn't a Rams bias thing. I think the spots where I'm taking both of them make that quite clear. Kyren Williams would be my next pick. So Kyren Williams played 12 games in 2023, but his 17-game pace would have been 361.3 fantasy points, which would have put him quite clear as the RB2. The Rams also have massively beefed up their offensive line, and I think they want to run... absolutely pound the rock going into next year. They discovered the ability to run the ball, and the interior offensive line on the Rams, all of them are over 330 pounds, including the center, which is obviously pretty huge. So I think the Rams want to set themselves up. It was interesting to see us not go out and target a high value edge in free agency, or I was going to say a top cornerback. We did get Trey White, but obviously he's coming back off an injury. But instead spend our money on re-signing Kevin Dotson, going out and getting Jonah Jackson, and then also spending a decent amount of money on a blocking tight end in Colin Parkinson. So I think the Rams want to run the ball a hell of a lot, and Kyren Williams was incredibly efficient in 2023.
Yeah, I have him ranked there, so I wouldn't disagree, and unless you shout up, Paul, I assume you're relatively happy.
Yeah, I know Mags is, you know, screaming somewhere about how awful Kyren Williams is, you know, and he's very angry at that pick, but yeah, that's pretty much where I have him as well. I think I've got one player ahead of him. So
if you, I know, I don't want to spend too much time on it. If you took Puka at the 111, would you still be willing to take Kyren Williams at the 202?
I don't think I would, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I'm the same.
I think I would have, to me, unless it's like a best ball. I suppose even in best ball, you're putting all your eggs in one basket there, especially your first two picks. You know what I mean? With your first two picks in the draft, you've gone Rams and Rams. Now, it's like a wet dream for you, Lewis, if I'm honest. And you love that. But the rest of us are sort of like, yeah, I don't want too much exposure to one team that early on. So I don't think I would have taken Kyren. If I was team 11, I wouldn't have taken Puka then Kyren. But I understand that's the way your rankings fell, like, you know.
Yeah, I actually don't think I would have either. If I was building a team, I'd like diversifying a little bit.
I think this is like you said, isn't it, Lewis? You know, if you were actually looking at a team building situation, we probably wouldn't draft this way. However, we're kind of based on our kind of rankings. And so ultimately, we're not really, you know, team wise looking at who's going where and what. Do you know what? This is really where it gets tricky for me, the 203. I think I'm probably a little bit lower on some of the wide receivers that are kind of ranked around this area than you guys. So I'm actually going to go back to the running back well again, rightly or wrongly. And I'm actually going to go for Jonathan Taylor here. You know, I think last season wasn't great for him. He was injured. You know, there was lots of dispute about his contract. You know, he was on PUP, all of this kind of thing. And, you know, ultimately that affected his season. But he is the running back one on the Colts. Yes, I understand that Anthony Richardson is a rushing QB and he's probably going to, you know, take some of these touchdowns. But Taylor is going to get a workhorse role in this offense, I think. You know, and I think ultimately he could get back into that upper echelon of running backs this season. Yeah, I'm not totally happy with the pick. I don't like this area of the draft, if I'm honest. But I've gone with it, so I'm going to stick with it.
So what I agree with you. So I agree. I don't know if I agree with the pick. I've got another running back that I think I'd have preferred over Jonathan Taylor. But what I agree with is this part of the draft is awful. I'm looking at players here and I'm just, you know, there's a lot of players here that are standing out to me as players that you know can be something special, but they haven't been, like last year or the year before or something like that. And you just, are you hoping for that? Are you, there seems to be a lot of hope in all of these picks to come now. And I think this is where everyone's rankings is just going to go so different from this moment here. So
yeah,
I agree with you that this is a really, really tough part of the draft. And you'd think round two, pick four, that we're still smashing just elite players that you're like, they're just going to go off every week. This is just easy. Smash, 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 smash. And it's just one of them where it's like, it's just a bit of a minefield and a shit show, if I'm honest. So I agree with you on that part, Hannah, to be fair.
I assume, Paul, you have Saquon over JT.
Wow, how did you guess that?
Yeah, I have Saquon next to him. The problem I have with Saquon is, I know the running back on the Eagles can be fantasy, you know, useful. And, you know, I guess he's in a very similar situation to Jonathan Taylor, but I don't know. I just can't.
I 100% agree with you, but that's what I'm saying. This is why it's a shit show, because
it's all of them in
Saquon Barkley, we know what he can be, and we're hoping he can do that to pay back the value that you're putting into this pick. So, I've got Jonathan Taylor one behind Saquon, so they're both next to each other, but it's not Saquon I'm going here. I'm actually going to go for another Colts player, and that's Michael Pittman Jr. here. I really like Michael Pittman Jr. I think he's a really, really good wide receiver, and as long as Anthony Richardson can play the season, I think he'll be fantasy relevant. And yeah, like we said, just before this part of the draft, you're just kind of hoping for a player to hit. And if he hits, I've nailed it. If he doesn't hit, that's a bit shit. But again, looking at what you did earlier, Lewis, if I can start Bijan and Michael Pittman Jr., I'm quite happy with that start. You know, I'm quite stoked with that, to be fair.
Yeah, I really like that. I'm a little bit lower on Pittman, but I really actually like the upside of him. And when you're looking at the other players that are available, I think it's basically now when you hit a tier of about 30 players, like I could kind of talk myself into anyone until about my 40th ranked player at this point. I think you hit a massive teardrop here. So I'm between two players.
Oh, I'm going to go for Matthew Stafford now.
It's Colby Parkinson. I'm between two players here. I think I probably would go Saquon, and then we'll see if the other player comes back. Saquon doesn't seem to have the same amount of excitement around him that I think we thought he probably would, going to the best offense he's ever been on. So I think getting him towards the middle of the second round would feel quite exciting, and definitely more into him in redraft than I am in Dynasty.
100% agree with that. 100%
yeah.
agree.
Yeah. So I'm going back to the wide receiver well here, and I have like a tier of six, to be honest, where I think you could talk me into having any one of these kind of above the other. But I'm going to go back on and look at previous history and the legend of this guy, and I just don't feel that we can ignore it any longer. So, Davante Adams. I totally understand that the Raiders is really not the best spot for him. Who knows who the QB is going to be, but he's just such a great wide receiver. Yes, I know he's getting older, but I just don't think his game has aged out yet, and I still think you have to have him in there.
Yeah, and I think especially with Minshew probably starting at quarterback, like Gardner Minshew isn't a good quarterback, but he will chuck it up. So I think this is probably a decent spot here.
Hard to find a problem in that one, to be honest. I think that's great value. And like we said about the other picks, you're shooting for a bit of upside, and Davante Adams has that upside with him. So you kind of know what you're getting with him.
Go on, Paul. Yeah. Who you got next?
So, So me, I want to. So the next guy on my board, I want to take, but I'm probably going to get slated for it, and you're going to be like, "Oh, you're going to cue me early again."
Probably.
But this is, if I could, if I was on the clock now and I had Breeze Hall, I think I'd be going back to the QB well, and I'd be taking Josh Allen here. I think this is great value, and I think I'm really happy with that start of Breeze Hall and Josh Allen, to be honest. And show me the money, you know.
I'm much happier with it here than I would be midway through the first. I think this is a completely fine spot for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still a tiny bit early for me. Like, realistically, if I could get him at the end of this round, I personally think that's the earliest that I would be happy to take a QB, because I just don't think you get that separation that we all think that you do. I know you say, you know, he got 3 extra points every game, but is that enough to be taken? Problem is, this year's a bit of a foot show in round two. But do you know what I mean? Generally, is it enough to be taking him over some of these skill players? But I totally get, you know, what you're saying. Anyway, let's motor on.
So the player that I was talking about when I took Saquon is still there. And this is someone that's going to annoy Mags in particular. Drake London, I think, is definitely an interesting option to take midway through the second, towards the back of the second. We obviously have the huge upgrade in offense. We think with Zach Robinson coming in as offensive coordinator, a huge upgrade at quarterback. They also currently don't have anything else at wide receiver. Their wide receiver two is Darnell Mooney. They obviously could take one at number 8, but it seems more likely they'll take an edge. If you're looking for upside, Drake London absolutely has it. I do definitely think he's being overvalued currently in Dynasty. But I think taking him as a wide receiver two, I'd be quite happy with.
Yeah, he was part of that tier that I mentioned when I took Davante Adams. So again, you know, any of those 6 in any order, I think would be reasonable. I'm going to go, this again probably is a better in best ball pick, if I'm honest. That San Francisco offense can be a bit kind of up and down about who gets what and when, but I'm going to be brave and go Brandon Ayuk here. You know, he is extremely talented, and I know that between him and Debo, they're probably going to have their up and down weeks, but you can't deny they're on a great offense and that they're talented players. So I think you got to go and pick them up somewhere around here.
Yep, I like that one. I like that one. So I'm going to go for a legend of the game, and I feel like
he's not Tom Brady, is it?
Nope. He's definitely not going to be drafted.
He's not your third QB.
No, I'm going to go for a legend of the game. He is somebody that everyone is going to be completely out on in Dynasty, but in redraft he still has it. And if anything, he's probably going to one of the best situations he's ever wanted, and everything like this, and that is to the king himself, Derrick Henry. And give me all of Derrick Henry at the Ravens, and we all know what he can do. We all know he's got a 2,000 yard season in him, and he's going out with a bang. It's his last year. Let him get his 2,000 yards, take the Ravens to the Super Bowl. Let's go. Make Hannah happy. But yeah, Derrick Henry for me here.
I really like it. I think there's going to be a lot of value in Derrick Henry. I think, and this is something that I realized when I was ranking the amount of people that I didn't have over him, and I want to talk about this player here, even though I probably wouldn't take him because I think you can wait. But I would probably take Mike Evans. Mike Evans finished as the wide receiver 7 in 2023. His situation is exactly the same. Obviously, they've lost their offensive coordinator, but things are looking really strong. That connection between Baker and Mike Evans is really strong, and he's not lost a step at all yet. And when I'm looking at the other wide receivers around this range, or even looking to the running backs or the start of the tight end, well, though I wouldn't take them for a while. And the other wide receivers that I have around here, Nico Collins, DJ Moore, Chris Olave, Deebo Samuel, Diggs. Like, I can't really see that any of them are going to finish above Mike Evans.
Yeah, I have him in that, you know, this tier of six that I've been talking about for the past three picks. He's in there. Yeah, yeah, I think that's a great pick. I suspect, like you say, you won't need to take him here because I think people will sleep on him again. But yeah, I think he 100%. Could quite easily finish as a decent wide receiver one this season. So I suspect we might be grabbing him quite a few places. So I'm going back to my tier of wide receivers here. I'm going to go back to the San Francisco 49 as well. And, you know, as we discussed before, I'm going to go for Deebo here. You know, I think he's another one where people criminally underrate him and undervalue him. You can get him later than you think. And ultimately, I do think he gives you good value. Now, look, if I was team one, I wouldn't be taking him there, you know.
Yeah.
But in my six here, I've got left, me personally, Olave and Deebo. As much as I like Olave, I don't like that offense. I prefer the 49ers, and I know that Deebo is going to have some decent spike weeks that are going to help me win, you know, as we go along. So I'm going to take Deebo here.
Perfect.
Completely agree with that. And to be honest, I had all of them, and Olave was the guy that I'd have maybe taken over Deebo. So I think we're all pretty similar there with the players that we had there.
So we've hit our hour mark. Are we going to run through third round quickly, or do we think that the listeners will have had enough of us and we'll let them all enjoy the rest of their day?
I mean, we can fly through if you want, or we can do another one where we can do later ones and have our own teams and stuff. This was just sort of more of a let's get a feel for how it's sort of starting to unfold as a draft, like, you know. I've got a couple of questions for both of you. Like, the first one I said was Cooper Kupp, and the second one was, how early have you got your first rookie? Have you got one in your top 50 picks?
So, yeah, Cooper Kupp for me is currently sitting at wide receiver 20. So between Waddle and Dell, I don't like it, but wide receiver is so deep that I think chances are he probably will end up being taken around there. So that's currently looking at like 41st overall.
I'm 43.
I have Marvin Harrison in my next group of wide receivers, so looking around wide receiver 14, so around that tier that we've been talking about. And he's like, I mean, obviously he's going to be the first rookie taken. I think if you could get him in the third round, that'd be pretty good. So I'd be quite happy with that. Where do you have? I'm assuming MHJ is your first rookie.
Yeah, I've got Marvin Harrison. So he's what, my wide receiver 13, I think he is. Okay. And I've got him pick 27. So what's that, middle of the third then, or beginning of the third? So that's mine. And I've got Cooper Kupp. He's currently pick 43 for me, and it feels awful having him that far down. Like, you know, I feel criminal putting somebody like Cooper Kupp that far down. But yeah, like I said, he's one of the tough ones for me this year because, you know, last year people were taking Cooper Kupp within the first round, like, you know, and now we're talking about pick 43, and it just feels like a criminal pick to me, to be honest. Hannah, what about you? How early is your first rookie? Like pick 50 something, or?
No, do you know what? Actually, I was very similar to both of you. So I had Olave was my next wide receiver, and Marvin Harrison actually is the one after that. So I actually having as my overall player 22, but because you were a bit wild with your picks, Paul, he's obviously we've not picked him yet. But yeah, you know, third, I would be happy to take him. Similar with Cooper Kupp. So I have him a little slightly higher than you, Paul. I have him as my overall 38th player. And I agree. I think feels totally wrong. And I think if he's perfectly healthy, he could certainly outperform that ADP, but I'm just concerned that his injuries, and, you know, we can't deny that Puka's there as well, you know, so I think that he's probably, you know, I can't put him any higher.
I think people will be silly with him, and I think people will maybe reach for him a little bit earlier than that. I think if I can get him at pick 43, I feel like that's screaming value, but also I think there'll be a lot of drafts where people will be getting to this point where, you know, the Mike Evans and the Deebo Samuels are, and they're going, oh, Cooper Kupp, smash. Yeah. And I'm going, mate, you take them all day long. You leave the Mike Evans for me, like, you know. So I'm just interested with him, to be honest. I am very interested to see what kind of season he has.
I'm interested to see that we have no Texans player here, because I think that even though Diggs is there now, etc., I think some of these Texans players are going to start creeping up in these first two rounds. I think people are still very excited about this Texans team, and, you know, rightly so.
I think we've been sensible.
I think that's too early, but I think ADP is going to be high on those.
I've got one at 26.
Yeah. I debated between Mike Evans and Nico Collins. Like, Nico Collins is still the one for me, but it was that in particular.
You're wrong. I'm like,
really?
Oh God. Who are you going for, Diggs?
No, Tank Dell.
Tank Dell.
No, no way. No way. If he wasn't injured, I like Dell, but the injury, I think, has got to play a part here. And now there's more of them there. I have Nico at 29. So
Dell was the one when they were both on the field.
Yeah, but I just think the injury is going to mean that he's slower to start. And maybe towards the end of the season, he is better. But I think the problem was Tank got injured second half of the season and Nico went off. And I think they now, like, well, I don't know, but potentially, you know, they know what the role for Nico is now. Like, they know how good he can be. So I could see them doing a bit more with him and being a bit more cautious with Tank, because he got quite injured with his little tiny frame.
The best thing about this whole the best thing about this whole conversation is not once has any one of us have gone, oh, it could be Diggs. We're arguing over it's Collins or Dell, you know.
And not probably one of us really gone, Diggs, oh, what,
Diggs. Diggs is actually quite a decent wide receiver, you know, so it's good.
Yeah. Right. I think we will end that there. So awesome. Really enjoyed going through those first two rounds, I have to say. Just really exciting to see where we all are on things. And I suspect that plenty of listeners and other analysts and other people will have totally different rankings to what we do. I think as soon as you get through the first half of the first round, it's anyone's game. And that's why I'm really excited for the 2024 season. So guys, we'll catch up again next week. Just before the NFL draft. So I think there's going to be some excitement around that and maybe some chats about where we think different players will go and all sorts of things like that. So that should be a great episode next week. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to go and follow us on X and obviously try and have a look at us on YouTube, Fantasy Wildcard. We do all sorts of different shows, so go and check it out. And hopefully see you all next week.